We're running from John again, and we're continuing the journey through the book of John, and we're going from the verse 16 through down to 29. I'll take it all the way to 30 to finish it. So, because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working." For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was also calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus gave them this answer: "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to those whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honour the Son just as they honour the Father. He who does not honour the Son does not honour the Father who sent him. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned, for he has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. Those who hear it will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this. For a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live. Those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. By myself, I can do nothing. I only judge as I hear, and my judgment is just. For I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me." Amen.
Back when I was a little girl, Christians weren't supposed to do any work at all on Sunday. And I could never work out why it was. My mother was happy for me to do knitting, but not sewing. Until I couldn't work that out at all. Until I got a bit older, and then I realised that to my mother, knitting was enjoyable, but sewing was work. So she passed that on to me as well. I could do knitting, but not sewing. Nowadays it's a bit different, but I still like to make Sunday a day of rest when I do different things from what I've done in the week. Apparently even psychologists say you should have one day in the week off, which is different from the rest, to counteract feelings of boredom, depression, etc. Nowadays, most Christians celebrate Sunday as their Sabbath, whereas in the past, of course, the Jews celebrated Saturday, and a few Christians still do today. But we believe Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday, so we celebrate Sunday on Sundays instead of Saturday. The Pharisees, for this was a group of people probably meant by the Jews in John chapter 5, were now actively seeking to kill Jesus. They had asked lots of rules. They had added lots of rules to the original law. For instance, expanding how people should observe the Sabbath to try and help people to obey that law. But in fact, their rules were just burdensome and they were much too strict. So they forbade 39 types of activity on the Sabbath, including not being allowed to trim their nails and or search for fleas in their clothes. They must have had lots of fleas in those days, didn't they? they need to search for fleas in their clothes, but not on a Sunday, not on the Sabbath, I mean. Jesus had no time for such interpretations of the Old Testament. Jesus' comment to the Pharisees following the healing at the pool was, in John chapter 5, was, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working." God has never actually stopped working, and nor will his Son. The question to ask ourselves is the way I observe Sunday any different from the rest of the week? Do I normally spend time in worship, for instance, on Sundays? Well, obviously you do because you come here. But what do you do the rest of the day? Is that just like any other day of the week, or is it different? So now we're going to move on to the main part of our passage, which is about the relationship between Jesus and God. I found an interesting quotation about this. "Jesus Christ is the meeting place of eternity and time, the joining of deity and humanity, the junction of heaven and earth." And I'll repeat that in case you didn't take it in fully the first time. Jesus Christ is the meeting place of eternity and time, the joining of deity and humanity, the junction of heaven and earth. And that really sums up the passage that we read this morning. The passage for today is really all about the deity of Jesus. It's part of a section which links two signs, the healing at the pool and the feeding of the 5,000. The Jews gave two reasons here as to why they wanted Jesus dead. One was because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, and the other reason was that Jesus had called God his Father, which meant that in effect he was making himself equal with God. They had other reasons too, which aren't mentioned here, as to why they want him dead. In the eyes of the Pharisees, Jesus was just a blasphemer. Jesus expanded on what he was saying. "The Son will do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." What a close relationship between Jesus and God. It was based on Jesus being totally obedient to the Father and totally dependent on him. He had no independent will or judgment. Their relationship was one of mutual trust. Is that the sort of relationship you have with God? One of total obedience and dependence on him? Because I don't. But that's what God wants of us. That's what God wants of us. The Father trusted the Son so much that he handed judgment over to him. Nicky Gumbel of the Alpha Course has a good illustration here. I don't know if they still do it in the Alpha Course. They did in the original one anyway. Two men went through school and university together and developed a close friendship. Life went on and they went their different ways and lost contact. One went on to be a judge and the other one ended up a criminal. One day, the criminal appeared before the judge. He had committed a crime to which he pleaded guilty. The judge recognized his old friend and faced a dilemma. He was a judge, so he had to be just. He couldn't just let the man off. On the other hand, he didn't want to punish the man because he loved him. So he told the man he would fine him the correct penalty for the offence. That is justice. Then he came down from his position as judge and wrote a cheque for the amount of the offence and gave it to his old friend, saying he would pay the penalty for him. That is love, and that is what Jesus has done for us. In the arms of Jesus, we have no need to be anxious because we've been forgiven through his death. And we have eternal life now, not just when we die. Eternal life began the moment we first believed. Did you realize that? That we actually have entered life already. It doesn't just start when we die, it started when we first believed. And this applies not just to the living, but also to those already dead when they come out of their graves. Although he never said explicitly, Jesus was actually saying that he was God, God in human form. The verses that we've explored this morning give us some of the most striking affirmations anywhere in the gospel. But I don't feel I've done this passage justice. So I hope that you will go home and read and study John chapter 5, verses 19 to 29 for yourselves. Amen.